to do that all over, but we are choosing to believe that he wants to do something supernatural here and something that will be history changing, not just an event that, you know, takes place and people talk about, but literally where Yakima is not the same after God gets done with it. Anybody else agree with that? Amen. Well, next Saturday, we're not going to have our home prayers. Bruce Allen is going to be visiting us from Spokane. Bruce Allen is a prophetic type teacher. He has an ability to communicate truths from the Word, and not only communicate those, but he's experienced those truths. It's one thing to talk about, you know, I believe God's going to be doing this, and then, you know, you're just waiting to see him do it, and then have him actually lead you into those areas where you see him doing that, and you have the testimonies of that and the miracles of that happening. That's the kind of life that Bruce Allen has. Now, he'll be here next Friday night at 7 o'clock. He'll be here at 1 o'clock on Saturday, or will be here 1 o'clock on Saturday, and 7 p.m. next Saturday, so two times on Saturday, and then next Sunday morning. And so if you're interested in that, I have somebody, Herman, could you pass these out? I know we passed some out last week, but if you're interested in that, you could take, and if you want to give that to somebody else, go ahead and take a couple. It was really, again, kind of a miraculous event of me even, you know, meeting Bruce personally, because I just called and ordered his book. I heard him on TV, and I wanted, something sparked in my heart, and I wanted to read his book. And so when I called him, I just, you know, because his book wasn't quite available yet in the bookstores, and he was selling it from his own website. And I gave him my information. I left something out, and his wife called me, and she just got that information and then hung up. About 6 months later, they're showing up in Yakima. They're driving through, and they call us, and they meet Gay and I for lunch. And what ended up being, like we thought, but like a 45-minute lunch, ended up being 2 hours. And it was just so refreshing and challenging and encouraging. So I do encourage you to come and join us next week for Dr. Bruce Allen and really open up your heart. Say, God, I want the truth. How many know when we know the truth will make us free? We want the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God, right? We don't want deception. We don't want the lies of the enemy. We don't want to live in old standards and old traditions. We want to live in the fresh move of God, the reality of who he is in this day, who he is. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just want to know how he really wants us to live as Christians. And I believe Dr. Bruce Allen will challenge us in that area. Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Revelation. Whoa, going to get all end times on you. No, I'm not going to do that. We had a great short teaching by Bill Cody at our men's breakfast, and he shared how there's 10 reasons, biblical, why we're really in the last days, and not only in the last days, why we're the terminal generation, that we're basically the last generation probably to live. Now, some of you are hearing this for the first time. You're like, what? I mean, you know, you don't have to be, you know, I guess maybe some people live under a rock, but I mean, you know, because you see that commercial, Geico, but I mean, it's happening, you know, that all around the world, they're talking about, you know, 2012 being the end of the world. You know, well, I don't believe that because God knows the day and the hour. No man really knows. But people's hearts are getting fearful. People are wondering, you know, am I going to be okay? You know, there was a commercial in the Super Bowl. It shows the Chevy truck driving out, you know, this time we made it, or it looks like we made it, you know, kind of comical. But it tells you that that's on people's mind, that the end of the world is imminent to some. But if you will turn with me in your Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, I'm going to talk about, actually verse 5, I'm going to talk about something else. I'll start in verse 4. How's that for being precise? John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Wow, we talked about that already. Verse 6,
and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word. Lord, and as Brother Bill shared, your word does not return void. That means, God, where it's sent, it will accomplish what it's sent to do. So, Lord, I just pray right now for every hearing ear, Lord, that hears this message, God, whether right now, Lord, or weeks from now on the internet. God, I pray, Lord, that their heart would be able to receive the truth of your word. God, that it would not be, Lord, a fight, Lord, for your word to enter into them, Lord, but let it be easily entreated in their heart today, God. I pray, Lord, that the revelation, God, of who we are, what we're called to do, who we're called to be, the day that we're living in, the hour that we're living in, the critical time that we're in, the perilous times that we're in, Lord, would be a revelation and understanding to them, Lord. And God, and I pray, Lord, that we would respond, Lord, in with a right heart and a right attitude, Lord, to that understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm standing up. I like to walk when I pray. I don't know why. I can, you know, I don't walk when I sit down, but I want to. It's like I start rocking. But it's like when I pray, I just know God's doing something. So it's like I want to go with him. What are you doing, God? So you see me walk when I pray. That's why. So. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come. That's a great way of saying that Jesus is eternal. That he was not some creation of God. Jesus is eternal. He always exists. He doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end. Then he says, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn, what's that mean? He's the firstborn among many brethren. That means because he raised from the dead, that's what we get to do. A couple weeks ago, we got to say goodbye to one of our long-standing saints, Joyce Adams, and she went to be with Jesus. And she experienced that resurrection. Jesus was the firstborn. She got to experience it. She got to experience leaving this life and going to an eternal life, going to a place where there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no tears, that you're in the fullness of joy in God's presence all the time. Now, how many would think that'd be good? That's why we can rejoice when our brothers and sisters in Christ go to be with them, because it is a good thing. We miss them. I'll miss her amens. I'll miss her looking at me in the eye and saying, believing God for the most amazing miracle on the earth and seeing it happen. I'll miss that. But I'm happy for her because she has participated in this being another born from the resurrection of the dead. The firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. He rules everything. I know, you know, some think that the president and prime ministers and kings in other countries run the world. That's not the case. That is not the case. God's will be done. His kingdom will come. They will not get in his way. They tried to get in his way when Jesus was born. God didn't let them mess up his plans. So you can be confident in God. I would not put your trust in the economic system. I would not put your trust in the political system. I would not put your trust in anything outside of God, because I believe it's going to fail. But God is going to succeed. And we are on the succeeding side. We are on the winning side. We have a relationship with the winner. So tomorrow morning when you get up and you get out of bed, you can look in the mirror and say, I'm a winner. Why? Because you've done something great and you've achieved something? No, you're a winner because you have the winner living inside of you. And because you're no longer alive and Christ lives in you, you're a winner. That's good news for somebody here. Because the world tells us, based on what our natural state looks like, we're losers at times. And there's always somebody who's going to look at someone else and say, well, they're a loser. There's always somebody in the pecking order, right? But in Christ, I don't care if you don't have a penny to your name. In Christ, you are a winner. In Christ, you are royalty. You are royalty. And it says here, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now you get that picture. You think about that. You put that on your mirror. You think about that. That Jesus washed us in his own blood. That means when we give our hearts to the Lord, he gets really personal with us. And he's personal with us till the day we die. Because he will never leave us or forsake us. He cannot deny his own. Only thing that we can do is run away from home. But he'll be waiting for us to come back home. Many of you have ran away from home. You know what I'm talking about. And he's waiting for you to come back and take you back. And if you've ran away from home, what I mean by that, if you've walked out of the graces of God, if you've gone your own way, if you've done your own thing, you're home. All it takes is just saying, I want to come. You don't have to like go through some kind of ritual. You don't have to go through some kind of, you know, legal documentation to come back. Just as you received him the first time, he receives you back. Praise the Lord. I'm full of good news today. This is awesome. Praise God. Well, the word is. I'm just communicating it. I'm the bearer of good news. Let's put it that way. Verse 6, and has made us kings and priests. Okay, now wait a minute. I can see my sins being forgiven. I can see, you know, my filthy rags being given a garment of white. And I can see me, you know, being, you know, just a little hand person or a handmaid or just a butler for Jesus, you know. But that's not what he intended, folks. That's not what God did on the cross. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Wow. Now, I want some of you who do not have a good self-image or do not see yourself as God sees you to sit up for a moment. Not in a proudful way, but in an understanding of that you have a royal heritage. Jesus is king. We're joint heirs, and he's making us kings and priests to our God. Wow. Let that sink in. I'm not just a nobody sitting here on earth just scrounging around trying to, you know, make my way through life. He's made me, and he's making me a king and a priest. A priest to minister before the Lord, and that's what we did this morning. We worshiped him as the priests of the Old Testament did. Now, we didn't sacrifice an animal, but we sacrificed our praise to him. Some of us came to this place and did not feel like lifting our voice at all. But because of who he is, we did lift our voice. We did proclaim his high praises. And he has honored that. And he does accept us as priests, even in our most difficult states of life. But we're also kings. Royal race is what the Amplified uses. Now, if you want to really get into Bible theology or Bibles, different Bibles, some of your Bibles are reading kingdoms and priests. Some are reading kingdoms, priests. The point being is that word kingdoms is the root word for kings. And it means royal race. It means a royal heritage. I can see some of you looking at me like, what is he talking about? Because you don't see yourself that way. But if God was to look at us today and could supernaturally expose what we look like spiritually, we would see a whole different picture than what we see right now. We would see kings and priests all over the room. You'd look around and go, holy cow, I had no idea. I'm serious. We're royalty. And because we're royalty, how should we conduct ourselves? Like a king. I'm glad you said that. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 31. And we're not going to talk about the Proverbs 31 woman now, no. We're going to read the very first few verses of Proverbs 31. And you just remember what you said, brother. Because it is important to remember who we are. See, a lot of times we're told to do things and not do things. And, you know, to be a Christian, you have to follow this set of rules. And, you know, if you don't follow these set of rules, well, you're really not a Christian. That's a lie. I'm just telling you that's a lie. Because our Christianity is not based on following rules. That's called the law. The law is what Jesus came to fulfill. And what he said in the law is, you can't meet my standards. You're never going to get good enough to meet my standards. You can't do enough to make me love you. I love you. You can't do enough to make yourself righteous. I can only make you righteous. And so, we have a little bit of a dilemma. We have a life that we have to live. And there's all kinds of choices every single day that we can make. We could choose to lie on our taxes. We could choose to, you know, call people names on the road because they're not pulling over or whatever. You know, we could choose to hit their bumper. We can choose to have certain types of conduct, can't we? But how should a king act? How should royalty act? I submit to you, because of who we are, we live differently. It's not we live differently so that we can be kings. Because we're kings, we live differently. Now, you talk to any person who's being raised up in a true earthly royal home, and from the time they're born, almost, to the time they're ready to go out and be on their own, they're trained how to conduct themselves as a king, how to conduct themselves as a queen or a princess or a prince. Why? Because they represent the kingdom. Oh, did you hear that? We represent God's kingdom. That's why we conduct ourselves a certain way. That's why we don't do certain things. Not because we're doing that to please God. He's pleased with us. We're doing that because of who he is inside of us. And we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So how do we conduct ourselves? Well, listen to what a mother of a king says. In chapter 31, verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Oh, a king being taught by his mother. Isn't that interesting? What, my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. He's talking to him about his sex life. He's saying, don't just go out there and just do anything that gives your strengths away, that destroys who you are. I'm here to tell you, don't go out there and participate in the enemy's camp that destroys who you are. See, we've gotten this way that I can't go out in the enemy's camp. And if I do, I'm going to get in trouble. And it becomes this do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, you know, stipulations. And how many know that we don't do well with those? Because the things that we are told not to do, guess what we want to do? We want to do them, don't we? We run to them. Our flesh does. And unfortunately, we follow it sometimes. And we're in places we don't want to be. Anybody else agree? Do not give your strength to women, no, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Listen to this. Is it not for kings, O Lemuel? Is it not for kings to... Is it not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink? In other words, he's saying, do not drink wine. Don't drink intoxicating drink, king. Why? lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Now I pause here because I was told a story recently, a shocking story. And to the person it was told to, it was shocking. They were at a lunch. They were with some folks. This one person who clearly identified himself as a believer in Christ was bragging about his drinking exploits. And the person who they were with is thinking, okay, well, he must be drinking, trying to win his friends, you know. So he's listening, he's saying, yeah, we play beer pong. When I heard it, I thought it was some kind of new video game. I didn't know that. Obviously, I'm really out of the loop. So forgive me, folks, if I just like identified myself as like naive. But anyway, I didn't know about beer pong. The point being is that this individual did it. And so another individual who's there, who's wondering, wow, he's a Christian. So are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Are you doing this like to, you know, to get people saved, you know, hang with them? And he goes, no, I'm doing it to get drunk. And they're like, what? I mean, the person that told me this is their brain went on tilt. And he felt totally uncomfortable because he knew his face showed the problem that he was thinking inside. And it was a very awkward moment. Why was it an awkward moment? Because this person who was with them knew they were a king. It wasn't that he was looking at him and said, oh, he's bad. No, he's saying, what is a king doing that? What's royalty messing with trash? Now, why do I say trash? Because the thing is that when we are kings and priests to God, we represent the royalty of Christ. We represent that cross. We represent the work of the cross. We represent his love poured out to this earth. And we go and we start delving with things that literally steal, kill, and destroy families. We start dealing with things that are literally sucking the life out of people, and we participate back with those. It's like we're saying, well, this is how you live. This is how Jesus would live. And that's not the truth. See what it says here, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. See, in 1 Corinthians 8, something amazing is said by Paul. Now, we can't relate to the situation, but what he's talking about is food that's being sacrificed to an idol. Now, this idol was nothing. Paul said an idol's nothing, and really the food sacrificed to the idol is nothing because there's no idol. It's all in the mind. But the person of the weaker conscience who, previous to knowing Christ, sacrificed this food to an idol, was part of his worship, sees you eating that food sacrificed to an idol, you cause him to fall. See, when we start doing things for our own pleasure, our own liberty, not because of we're not told to. Let me get this straight, because I don't want you to say, Pastor Mike said I can't drink. That's not what I'm saying. I am not saying that. I am not telling you not to drink. What I'm telling you is, why would you? Why would you drink? What association does darkness have with light? None whatsoever. You ever turned on the light? The darkness is gone. And pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Says now here's the person to give drink to. Says it right here. Give strong drink to him who is perishing. Are we perishing? We're the furthest from perishing, folks. I've never felt so alive as I do these days in Christ. And wine to those who are bitter of heart. There is a place. But it's not for us. If we're bitter of heart, you know who we have? We have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Giver of Life, that's inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ, to give us peace that passes all understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds. We don't need drink. Not that we can't. Not that he tells us not to. He's not sitting there and you know, you've got some kind of prohibition going on in your home. And if you do, he's going to come in your cupboard and start bashing bottles and call you names. That's not what it's about. It's about you are somebody in God. And I'm just choosing drink right now. It could be anything that is associating with the deeds of darkness. Whether it's lying, cheating, stealing. We are God's royal race. Now, if you do feel like you must participate in getting drunk or getting high, listen to this. I'm here to tell you this works. And do not get drunk with wine. This is Ephesians 5:18. For that is debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. There's your alternative, folks. The Holy Ghost. There's a great saying by some folks, you know, who have come out of the drug realm and have experienced the peace of God and the Holy Spirit. And they said, there is no high like the Most High. I'm here to tell you that you do not need an artificial stimulant to give you a fix. Jesus is your fix. The Holy Spirit is your fix. If you're having problems, if you're being stressed out, go to a brother, sister in Christ. Pray with them. Somebody who believes God and say, I need something from God. Two, agreeing in faith. You know what? The peace of God's going to flood your heart, going to flood your mind. You're going to be released from this bondage, and you can stand as if you had just had a party. I am tired of us as Christians living in the gutter. And what I mean by that, I mean we literally have missed our place. Like, you know, somebody who was Fortune 500 company owner, and then he's in the gutter, drunkard, stoned out of his mind, whatever it is. Gone to that because his success didn't meet what he thought he really was going to get. I mean, got to the top and realized the top is empty and it's unfulfilling. But what's happened is to Christians is that because we've lost our focus, we've lost our attention, we've taken our gaze off the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, didn't stay to his promise, even though things got tough, things got difficult, we gave up before we received our reward. It says very clearly, do not grow weary in well-doing, because you will receive your reward if you faint not. You could put anything in that. I don't believe that's just serving. I believe that's being who we are in Christ. Don't grow weary in it. Don't let circumstances of life bulldoze you over and take your very joy away. Listen to this. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. That's what we had to do last night. We had no music. We had no iPod. It was just like our voices. And you know what? It was awesome. I mean, I was really concerned when I got there. I'm like, what, Nick's not here? No guitar? Okay, let me get my iPod. There's no place to plug my iPod in. I'm like, oh! And Eric, bless his heart, he's gone, it'll be okay. It's like... You know, I had these certain ideas of how, you know, prayer meetings need to go. God's like rewriting the book, folks. Amen. He's like saying, you know what? What you thought you needed to do, why don't you just let me do what I want to do and touch who I want to touch in the way I want to touch them. at all times and for everything, give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. You know, giving thanks, we sell it short, but it beats getting drunk. Because there's something supernaturally that happens. When we give thanks, as we ask for our needs to be met, He literally lets the peace of God flood our soul, hearts, and minds. Our whole being is saturated in what we need to comfort us. Wow. Through thanksgiving? But what if I don't feel thankful about anything, Pastor? What if my life is such a wreck, my life? Well, let me just ask you. Are you living in Calcutta with 30 other people in a small little shack? Five of them have leprosy. No jobs. You're literally eating the food out of trash cans that you've divided and you don't even know what you're going to eat. Probably most people here would not raise their hand. You are not that person. You have a reason to be thankful. We are so prone to look at our situation, where we're at right now, and we think that this is all there is to life. And we literally miss the very restoration tool, because in looking at it, we become overwhelmed. We become so distracted that we cannot see even Jesus at all in it. We can't see God in it. We can't see the Holy Spirit in it because we're so focused on it. If we would just take a moment and look around, oh, there's others worse off than me. Wow, Lord, thank you that I have a house. Thank you that I do have a job. Thank you that, wow. And you start thanking Him, and guess what? All of a sudden, wow, that's not that bad. I mean, my life's falling apart, but it's not that bad. Now you're saying, well, you're delusional, Pastor. You know what? I think to the world we should be delusional, because it should not make sense the way we live. We should not be able to be figured out. People should look at us and say, they're messed up. Because everything's falling apart. All the things that we would think are going wrong, and they're jumping around clapping their hands. Amen. Why do we jump around clapping our hands? Because we are royalty. I was dead. I was lost. Now I'm found. Come on, I'm alive. Let's stop the priority chase after this world and start the priority chase for Him. And I guarantee life will come in perspective. Because the more we attain in this life, from this life, the less we'll receive from eternal life. And that is a guarantee. The more that we attain and the more that we are fulfilled with this life, the less we receive from eternal life. And eternal life's forever. Last time I checked, about 120 is all you get here. And that's if you're really eating healthy food. That's not Big Macs. That's not Cheetos. That's like bark from trees, I think, to get 120. I don't know. I'm just saying, we're not here this long. It's a vapor. It's a flash. And right now, we can make the priority eternity. And if we do that, we will not be sold short. We will not come up empty-handed. We will be blessed. So next time you have a choice, folks, next time we have a choice of going the easy route, going the route of our peers, going the route of the world, which is not the route a king should take, or a queen, or a prince, or a princess, however you want to classify yourself now. Some of you definitely say, I'm not a king yet. You are royalty. Is this where royalty should be? What happens when royalty gets involved with the world? Front page. Get ready for it. When we are in that type of life, and we've said we're in this life, you're getting ready to be front page somewhere. Because you're royalty. The enemy of your soul is going to poster board you somewhere and disgrace Christ. Not you. You look disgraced, but it's really Christ who's getting disgraced. It's really His kingdom that's getting sold short. And people mock and laugh at him because it's not true. There's people that literally do not go to church because royal individuals did not conduct themselves as kings and priests. They conducted themselves as the world, and they hypocritically lived their life, and people would not go back through the doors. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes, we're going to make mistakes. But let's not go out and chase the mistakes. The mistakes come easy enough, folks. I do not have to try to go out there and find mistakes to make. I make them all the time. Bad choices. But let's not make it a habit of living in those mistakes. Let's be royal priests. And with this royalty comes a heritage. With this royalty comes an inheritance. Let's just ask God right now, Lord, open our eyes, Lord, for a moment. Lord, let our spirits hear this, God. We're royalty, Lord, and we want to live as royal kings and priests before you and before this world. God, I pray right now for every heart, Lord, that we would rise to a standard, God, not because we have to, Lord, but because we get to, Lord, as kings and priests, Lord, and live differently, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are the best high. There's no high like you, Lord. There's no joy like you, Lord. God, and I experienced it before, but after I came to you, Lord, I didn't need it anymore because you are the best high. You're the best peace, God, that you can get anywhere. If we do, just share that. You want peace? Get God. You tired of your life being upside down and in torment? Get God. Because that's what it's about. Life eternal and a good life now. That's pretty good, isn't it? Why don't you stand? Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are working in your people. I thank you, Lord, you're working in me. And God, I pray right now, Lord, for every individual, Lord, that is agreeing with this and knowing that they need to live royal lives, God. Live a life, Lord, as if they're kings and priests, God. You'd empower them. You'd give them the strength to make those decisions, God. And Lord, you would bless them, Lord, with supernatural results, God, for making the right decision. Lord, I pray a blessing upon your people, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just let your grace and your mercy chase after them, Lord, as you promised in your word. God, let their places of employment, God, be opportunities, Lord, and mission fields, God. Let their lives, Lord, be hidden in Christ, God. And Lord, let them be, Lord, protected from the evil influence of this age, God. Let the lies and the darts of the enemy fall off of them, Lord, as they chase after you. I just speak a blessing upon the families represented here. I speak a blessing upon the jobs, God. I just thank you, Lord, that you have made us, God, a people, Lord, that can look to you for answers. I pray, Lord, you give them the answers now. In Jesus' name they're looking for. We love you, Lord. Your love is amazing. I thank you, Lord, that you've taken brokenness and put it back together. And not only that, but you've made us royalty. When we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, but you freely gave it to us. So, Lord, I pray we live lives that are worthy of being royal. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This weekend, that's the 17th, 18th, and 19th. Bruce Allen, if you have any questions, you can call me or just come to the church. Drive by the on Titan. All the information's there, so if you lose your brochure, God bless you all.
light that shines for me. And if this is war, then I'm gonna draw my sword. This time I know.